गोपी जनवा निशम्यतद्वक्ते दिदिक्षया दिशो विलोक्य तत्रन्यदपश्यमाना त्वद्विष्णवस्थाय विनिश्यत सुपादिष्ट इव दधे मनः निशम्य तद्वक्त्रे दिदिक्षया दिशो विलोक्य तत्र्याद् अपश्यमाना स्वधिष्ण्यम् अस्थाय विमिष्य तद्धितम् तपस्युपादिष्ट इवादधे मना Come on, ladies, you go ahead. Thank you, everybody. That's what I like when everybody just chants. Men, women, it's not this or that, you know. It's nice. Thank you. So word to word, Nishamya, after hearing, tat, that, vaktri, the speaker, didikshaya, just to find out who spoke, disha, all sides, vilokya, seeing, tatra, there, anyat, any other, apashyamanaha, not to be found, swadhishnyam, on his lotus seat, asthaya, sit down, vimrishya, thinking, tat, it, hitam, welfare, tapasi, in penance, upadishta, as he was instructed, Iva, in pursuance of, Adhade gave Manaha attention. Translation and purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. When he heard, that is Lord Brahmā, when he heard the sound, he tried to find the speaker, searching on all sides. But when he was unable to find anyone besides himself, he thought it wise to sit down on his lotus feet, on his lotus seat, firmly, and give his attention to the execution of penance, as he was instructed. Purport. To achieve success in life, one should follow the example of Lord Brahmā, the first living creature in the beginning of creation. After being initiated by the Supreme Lord to execute tapasya, he was fixed in his determination to do it. And although he could not find anyone besides himself, he could rightly understand that the sound was transmitted by the Lord himself. Brahmā was the only living being at that time because there was no other creation, and none could be found there except himself. In the beginning of the first canto, in the first chapter, first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, it has already been mentioned that Brahmā was initiated by the Lord from within. The Lord is within every living entity as a super soul, and he initiated Brahmā because Brahmā was willing to receive the initiation. The Lord can similarly initiate everyone who is inclined to have it. Wow. Just pause for 1 minute. I like to pause. Srila Prabhupada, in the first sentence of this paragraph, he says, one should follow the example of Lord Brahmā. And then in this last sentence of this paragraph, he says, the Lord can similarly initiate everyone who is inclined to have it. I mean, when I read that, I'm like, isn't this the degree of rhythmic philosophy? I mean, forget about being Prabhupada's disciples direct. We can just be disciples of the Lord directly. How about that? Prabhupada has written this in black and white here. But let's hear what Srila Prabhupada says further. As already stated, Brahmā is the original spiritual master for the universe. And since he was initiated by the Lord himself, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is coming down by disciplic succession. And in order to receive the real message of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should approach the current link of the spiritual master in the chain of disciplic succession. After being initiated by the proper spiritual master in that chain of succession, one should engage himself in the discharge of tapasya, in the execution of devotional service. Now, here's the answer to that question. One should not, however, think himself on the level of Brahmā to be initiated directly by the Lord from inside, because in present age, no one can be accepted to be as pure as Brahmā. The post of Brahmā to officiate in the creation of the universe is offered to the most pure living being. And unless one is so qualified, one cannot expect to be treated like Brahmāji directly. Just in case you were thinking that, so Prabhupada makes it clear. But one can have the same facility through unalloyed devotees of the Lord, through scriptural instructions as revealed in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam especially, and also through the bona fide spiritual master available to the sincere soul. The Lord himself appears as the spiritual master to a person who is sincere in heart about serving the Lord. Therefore, the bona fide spiritual master who happens to meet the sincere devotee, therefore the bona fide spiritual master who happens to meet the sincere devotee, should be accepted as the most confidential and beloved representative of the Lord. If a person is posted under the guidance of such a bona fide spiritual master, it may be accepted without any doubt that the desiring person has achieved the grace of the Lord. Okay. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine, Nirvishya Shimadi Paschatya Deshatarine, Vanchakal Patarubhascha Kripas in the Devi Chapatita Nam Pavani Bhu Vaishnava Bhu Namo Namaha. In our law practice, we have this, we use this paper that was written, I think that was put forward by the GBC, and it's called Gurus and Initiation. So we use that for our religious visas. We use that to show to the USCIS about our process of initiation. It's a pretty lengthy paper, Gurus and Initiation. And that's the subject matter here, Gurus and Initiation. When we generally think about initiation in ISKCON, we think about who do I get initiated by? We see who are the authorized devotees. What is the list of authorized devotees we can get initiated by? Or we may think initiation about, oh, what name would I get? Or about the initiation ceremony. And maybe we think about the commitment that we have to make and all that. So that is our, you know, our general thinking about when we think about initiation. However, we see here, or we choose the beads. I remember when I was getting initiated, I was thinking, okay, I wanted this kind of beads. I want big beads and, you know. Anyway, sometimes I think I wish I had chosen small beads. But I'm kind of stuck with them, and I like to channel my initiated beads. But anyway, but yeah, these are different thoughts that come. But here we see that Brahma, you know, he didn't see his spiritual master. He was the only person, and he heard the word tapa. And he followed instructions. And then he saw his spiritual master, the Lord himself. And I guess his fire ceremony initiation beads was the handshake. Lord Krishna came and he shook his hand. I was thinking, he shook his hand. And normally, well, here in the West, they shake the hands like this. Yeah, shake the hands. But in India, shaking hands is, you touch the hands like this, and one person will put the one hand in the air and the other hand. So actually, all four hands are touching. So I was thinking with Lord Brahma, with his eight hands, I wonder how he did with, you know, four piled up in the three and four, or however. But but that was his initiation ceremony. We see different initiation ceremonies. We see Prahlad Maharaj. His initiation was while he was in the womb. He was in his womb, and that's how he got initiated. I didn't hear anything after that, except that he was following instructions of Narada Muni. But he, just like Lord Brahma, he got his instructions sitting in the, going down and sitting in the lotus feet, a lotus stem. We hear Prahlad Maharaj heard his instructions and got his initiation while in the womb by Narada Muni. Great soul. Then we hear Prabhupada telling us the story of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, how he got his initiation. What was his initiation ceremony like, and by who? He was, let me read what Prabhupada writes about him. Bilwa Mangal Thakur was a great acharya in the Vishnu Swami sect, and in his householder life, he was very attached to a prostitute who happened to be a devotee of the Lord. And so one night when the Thakur came to Chintamani's house in torrents of rain and thunder, Chintamani was astonished to see how the Thakur could come on such a dreadful night after crossing a foaming river which was full of waves. I also heard that he came from his father's funeral. He went for his father's funeral and he was very anxious to leave so that he could go and see the prostitute. So the prostitute told him that his attraction for the flesh and bone of an insignificant woman like her would be properly utilized if it could be diverted to the devotional service of Lord to achieve attraction for the transcendental beauty of the Lord. And then Prabhupada writes that it was a momentous hour for the Thakur. It just struck there in his heart. And so later on, the Thakur accepted the prostitute as his spiritual master. So what an initiation did he have? By who? By prostitute. She was a preacher, yeah? That was just her profession. Her profession was being a prostitute. Guru doesn't mean that you have, you know, this or that. That was just her profession. And Vilvamangala Thakur accepted the instruction from his guru, the prostitute. Sri Prabhupada says that in several places of his literary works, he has glorified the name of Chintamani, who showed him the right path. So yes, very different than conception that we may have. But I have another example that I really like from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is King Rahugana. I mean, what an amazing disciple and spiritual master relationship. And we know the story of Judd Bharat, that, you know, Bharat Maharaj, and then he kind of fell in love with the little deer and wanted to take care, and then got a deer's body, and then is like, okay, no way am I going to get diverted from my path. So he came as Judd Bharat. So the Bhagavatam describes, thereafter, when the king saw his palanquin was still being shaken by the carriers, he became very angry and said, "You rascal! What are you doing? Are you dead despite the life within your body? Do you not know that I am your master?" He's saying, "I'm your master. Don't you know that? You're disregarding me and are not carrying out my order. For this disobedience, I shall now punish you just as Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, punishes sinful people. I shall give you proper treatment so that you will come to your senses and do the correct thing." So, this is to be disciple, telling to be spiritual master. And so, what happens? Judd Bharat, when he hears that, he's very calm, and he gives him some knowledge. And what is the result? King Rahugana, after hearing from Judd Bharat, he says to Judd Bharat, "You have come to give me spiritual knowledge, and you are a direct representative of Kapila Dev." Now, actually, at that time, King Rahugana was going to Kapila Dev's ashram to have darshan, and so he's saying, "Well, you are a direct representative of Kapila Dev, the incarnation of God." Then he says, "Oh, spiritual master." Then he's inquiring from his from Judd Bharat, and he says, "Oh, spiritual master." So he has accepted him as his spiritual master. Can you imagine what King Rahugana must have felt? Okay. I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. He says, "Oh, spiritual master, what is the most secure shelter in this world?" So we see King Rahugana's initiation happening right there. And so we see a lot of different examples like that, which we don't have now. But we have Arjun right in the battlefield, his friend. He surrenders to his friend, the Supreme Lord, and asks him to Karpanya dosha pahata svabhava prichami tvam dharma samudha. "I am asking you, I'm a surrender soul to you." And then Lord Krishna gives him instructions, and he asks for a dakshin. His dakshin was fight. So that was his dakshin for his initiation. So all these situations, all these scenarios that I have given, there is one common thing. What is that one word that you can say is common in all these scenarios of initiation that we're hearing?
Faith and surrender.
Faith and surrender, yes. Very good. Another one?
Accepting approval?
Yes.
Mercy?
Yes. All these are correct. But you know how it is when I'm thinking something and everything is correct, but you have to come with the word that I'm thinking? You have to be the super soul within the heart to figure out what I'm thinking?
Instructions.
Instructions. Yes. Knowledge. Knowledge. So all what you said is correct. But it was knowledge that each person gave. Whether it was the prostitute, whether it was Prahlad Maharaj in the womb, whether it was Arjun in the battlefield, in all the situations, knowledge was given to the person. I want to read something which Srila Prabhupada wrote this in a letter to Hamsa Dutta in 1968. So we're talking about 1968. Prabhupada came in 1965. It's been 3 years. He already knows his audience. He knows the strength and weaknesses of his disciples here. So he's writing this letter. I read the whole letter. There was nothing else. There was other things that were mentioned, nothing in regards to this, but then this paragraph was written in the letter. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Next January, there will be an examination on this Bhagavad Gita. Papers will be sent to me, papers will be sent by me to all centers, and those securing the minimum passing grade will be given the title of Bhakti Shastri. Similarly, another examination will be held on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day in February 1970, and it will be upon Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Those passing will get the title of Bhakti Vaibhav. Another examination will be held sometime in 1971, 1 year after another, okay? Another examination will be held sometime in 1971 on the four books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and the Nectar of Devotion. One who will pass this examination will be awarded the title of Bhaktivedanta." Now listen to this further thing that he says. And you have heard this before, but I want you to hear it more carefully. "I want all my spiritual sons and daughters will inherit this title of Bhaktivedanta." We say Asi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada's name is Abhayacharan. Bhaktivedanta is a title. He's saying his sons and daughters. What he's saying here, I want them to inherit this title. It's a natural thing for a father to want his children to have his last name. Yeah, that's his title. He wants to give that title. That's a natural thing. Srila Prabhupada wants his spiritual sons and daughters to inherit this title. Can you imagine what he's thinking, how he's feeling? He wants them to inherit this title. He wants everybody to be Bhaktivedanta, Divyanga, Das, Adhikari, whatever. He wants them to have this title, Bhaktivedanta. He wants to inherit, so he says, "I want all my spiritual sons and daughters will inherit this title of Bhaktivedanta so that the family transcendental diploma of Bhaktivedanta will continue through the generations." So he wanted, in 1968, knowing who his sons and daughters are, he wants them to inherit this title of Bhaktivedanta so that it can be passed on through generations. It doesn't finish here. Those possessing this title of Bhaktivedanta will be allowed to initiate disciples. Then he writes, maybe by 1975, so he gives a year. So he's giving a year so far. In 1970, they do the Bhakti Shastri. In 71, they do the Bhakti Vaibhava, and then for all the other books. And then by 1975, maybe all my disciples will be allowed to initiate and increase the numbers of the generations. This is my program. Srila Prabhupada, here he's saying that while he's still here, also, that's another thing he's saying, while he's still here, by 1975, he's thinking, by 1975, then all my disciples should be able to initiate and increase the numbers of generations. This is my program. Prabhupada is here, if you think, meditate on this just one letter, Srila Prabhupada is talking about receiving knowledge through Bhakti Shastri, by Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, receiving knowledge, and then what do you do with this knowledge? Giving it to others. The whole idea is to give this, receive it and give it. He says further in that, he ends the letter by saying, so we should not simply publish these books for reading by outsiders, but our students must be, so it's not simply for reading for outsiders, but our students must be well versed in all of our books so that we can be prepared to defeat all opposing parties in the matter of self-realization. This is Srila Prabhupada's desire. Actually, I think the Rupasa Prabhu was saying this terminology, preaching is the essence. Were you telling the Rupasa Prabhu that Mukunda Maharaj was looking at this phrase, preaching is the essence, but he couldn't find it anywhere? Okay. So it didn't originate from Srila Prabhupada, but one Chinese devotee expressed. But it seems like Srila Prabhupada really wanted us to know these books, imbibe this knowledge, and give it. And he's encouraging everybody to do so, his spiritual sons and daughters. And it's not something that what is Srila Prabhupada doing? Srila Prabhupada is repeating what he hears. And we know, what is Lord Chaitanya said? That famous verse, Yare Dekhe Tare Kaha, Krishna Upadesh. And Prabhupada says that, when he says, in translating that verse, he's talking about Krishna Upadesh means Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. Yare dekhe tare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agya guru hoy tara ei desh. Instruct everyone to follow the orders of Lord Krishna as they are given in the Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavatam. In this way, become a spiritual master and try to liberate everyone in this land. So our conception of guru, initiation, could be sometimes sometimes you may be narrowing. A guru is one who gives us beads. Yes, that he's a guru. He connects you to the parampara. So yes, he's a guru. But there's other gurus who may be giving you knowledge. Srila Prabhupada writes that the initiating and instructing spiritual masters are equal and identical manifestations of Krishna, although they have different dealings. Their function is to guide the conditioned soul back home, back to Godhead. So yes, instructing and initiating spiritual master. I know when Braja and Pranaya were asked in the Duna Maharaj to get initiated, and the Duna Maharaj said, he said, well, your parents have already done the work. I'm just doing the finishing touch. And he acknowledged the work that parents had done. Now, let's say if Braja and then Shyamadarshini thought that, okay, now I have my guru, or now we have our guru, so he's our guru, and those who have given me instructions in a close way, that is their parents, and in the community in general who has raised them, if they would disregard them and just focus on their guru and disregard the instructions or not appreciate what was given to them, surely you would think that was a no-no. Am I correct? I think if Ragatika would see that kind of thinking, she would have a word with them. She is one of their gurus. So she would definitely give a word. How can you do that? That is almost offensive for somebody who has given you instructions, who has raised you in Krishna consciousness, and then you get the beads from somebody and you disregard those who have put the time and energy. However, it would be disrespectful also to see for them, since we're using Braja and Shyamadarshini as an example, it would be disrespectful of them to see their parents and their initiating spiritual master in the Duna Swami to be on the same caliber. Wouldn't that be disrespectful too? Yes. But then, how do we understand Prabhupada saying, there is no difference between the shelter-giving Supreme Lord initiating and instructing spiritual masters. If one foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. If one foolishly discriminates between them, he commits an offense in the discharge of devotional service. So you did all agree that it wouldn't be correct for them to disregard the parents who did give them spiritual knowledge. And you also agreed that it would be disrespectful for them to see Indrajuna Swami, somebody of such a high caliber, and to see the parents in the same as same, equal. So how do we reconcile this statement what Srila Prabhupada writes here? Any thought? No? Yes, Sri Dhi Muni Prabhu. Could you have the mic?
If you would change it, it doesn't work.
Mic doesn't work?
Yes, it's my turn to talk. Especially when he's speaking, it won't work.
No, seriously, the mic doesn't work?
No, it doesn't work. Yeah, 2 days now, it's not working.
Oh, okay.
If you would change it, it's nice, then maybe it'd be more level playing
field. I'm not going to repeat that.
Yeah.
Yeah, any thought on that? Because, come on, esteemed devotees.
Yeah.
So it's not, so Prabhupada is saying to, is foolish to discriminate between them, but I'm saying that they should discriminate between them. And you agree with me, yes? They should. But then, are they committing an offense by discriminating?
Yeah, I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No, because it can be circumstantial that with all their parents might be grihasthas that appears to be very simple, that they can be equally as advanced as a preaching sannyasi.
Okay, I agree with that. But let's say in this situation, and this is not humility, I'm just kind of stating the facts here. And you would agree with that. Indrajana Maharaj, who he is as a person, how he travels and preaches and inspires millions of people, put him. And Brajan Shyamadarshini's parents, which are also good devotees, and also are following the instructions of their spiritual masters, are following everything, but they are of different caliber. They are of different caliber. Deva Prasad, will you have something to say?
Yeah, one of the book, they're giving the knowledge, which is the same knowledge as you have approached Krishna. Externally, they have different situations, so they are different.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a different position.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the equal and non-equal. It's important. What I'm trying to do is to help to broaden our consciousness to understand that it could be equal and not equal. Actually, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada Muni, when he, after him asking who is the best devotee, and he goes through all the devotees, and each devotee, as we know, points to the devotee better that he thinks is better. Finally, when he comes to Krishna, and then, you know, the whole Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the first volume, at that time, Krishna says something very interesting to Narada Muni. He says to Narada Muni, "O sage, each of the devotees you saw and heard about in your wanderings here and there, from Prayag Tirtha to Dwarka, is perfect in all respects." They're perfect in all respects. Each of them can deliver the entire world. And each has truly received my mercy. There exist between them only degrees of perfection. So there's such thing as degrees of perfection. Narahari, you know, Narahari Sarkar, Narahari Adi Kori Chamaradula, that Narahari, who's a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, he has written a book, Bhajanamrita, Krishna Bhajanamrita or Bhajanamrita, I forget. Anyway, so he writes, he says that all Vaishnavas are gurus. He says all Vaishnavas are equal. But some are less so than others.
That's complex math.
Yes. And that's what spiritual life is. Spiritual understanding is different than material understanding. And that requires that we have to expand our consciousness. All Vaishnavas are equal, but some are less than others. They all resemble Krishna, but some do so more than others because they embody more of Krishna's splendor. Therefore, here, this is this. There's a paper written by Gopinath Acharya, one of scholars who studied in Oxford. So he has written a paper on Narahari. So that's where I'm reading this from. And he says, therefore, Narahari argues common sense dictates that they should not be treated equally. He says, He says, but just as within the equality of Vaishnava there is a hierarchy, so some Vaishnavas are more guru than the others to a particular disciple. So, in other words, we respect everybody, all the Vaishnavas are equal, and yet they're not equal. And therefore it's proper for us to understand that difference and that similarity and offer respects to all according to who they are or according to our level of understanding of who they are. And the more pure we become, the more we can appreciate the devotees who are on the higher level. Actually, when I was thinking of this class, I thought about Burijan Prabhu. I don't know how many of you know Burijan Prabhu. We know him for many years, actually. And when I go to the retreat, is Sachinanda Maharaj and Burijan Prabhu are there. And Burijan Prabhu is probably one of the most knowledgeable devotees in our movement. He's the one who teaches the, Prabhupada is talking about here, Bhakti Vaibhav and Bhakti Vedanta. He certainly can be given the title of Bhakti Vedanta. And he's the most humble devotee. He's such a humble devotee. So unpresuming. And he's a grihastha. I know Sridhar Muni Prabhu was making a joke there about, you know, taking sannyas and then you'll be equal, but he's a grihastha. And he teaches the Bhagavatam in an amazing way. And certainly it could be possible. I mean, he started initiating many years afterwards, but he has given instructions to so many devotees and helped and still helps so many devotees who are not his diksha in the sense of name. They're not initiated by him through beads. But he has given so much instructions, and you could see that probably some of his initiating, some of his instructing disciples, I don't know what the word is, but shishyas, are they whom they have gotten initiated, probably as an instructing spiritual master, he's more elevated than their initiating spiritual master. And so it's very important that we understand what is guru, what it means to be a disciple, what is Srila Prabhupada's desire for us, and to really give the proper respect to not only to our initiating gurus, but to our instructing gurus, and to understand their level of elevation or Krishna conscious or Krishna splendor, like splendor of Krishna, and give the proper respect. I would like to end the class by, there was so much here by Jiva Goswami that I wanted to read, but anyway, time is up. I can't find what I wanted to read now. But basically, yes. Actually, you know, I'll just say something. Even Uttara, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Uttara heard about all the different levels of the devotees, she said, well, I know there is no hierarchy in the spiritual, in the Vaikuntha planet. She says, it would be very disturbing to me that if those special devotees, meaning the gopis, would attain only the same perfection as others, my heart will be left discontent, For such devotees as Nanda and Yashoda to reach only the same destination, she's like, that cannot be possible. In other words, she is discriminating between the levels of the devotees. And so she's feeling that how could Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj go through the same destination as all other devotees? And so that's when the other second part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita starts, where Janmajaya tells her that no, they do reach to a different planet than the other other devotees, the other common devotees, so to speak. Anyway, if anybody has any comments, questions, yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu, maybe I could give you the mic.
That's okay.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll repeat the question or comment. Yes.
Just a couple of things. I recall when I was in high school, we were studying some of the communist philosophy of Russia, USSR. Survey of philosophy, and somebody wrote a book characterizing their philosophy as animals. And the rule number one was that all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. So reflecting to what you talked about here.
Thank you. Let me just repeat this. Dharmaraj Prabhu was saying that how when he was studying in school communism, and one of their rule, number one, was that all animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. Thank you.
My understanding that there is a difference between pure devotees and advanced devotees. Like when Srila Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees you have in the movement? He turned to his servant and asked, how many devotees you have in our movement? So as long as one is following the pure devotee, following all the instruction, then he's a pure devotee, whether he just came yesterday or 20 years ago. So if an advanced devotee is also in the category of a pure devotee, but he may be more experienced and like that. So in that way, you know, there is a difference.
Okay. Thank you, Dharmaraj Prabhu, for that comment. Dharmaraj Prabhu mentioned his understanding of pure devotee and advanced devotee is pure devotee, even though he may have just joined, he's a pure devotee because he's following the instructions of the pure devotee. He mentions about when Srila Prabhupada was asked how many pure devotees you have in your movement, and Prabhupada asked the devotees, how many devotees are there? And then Srila Prabhupada said, that many pure devotees we have. And so that is a pure devotee, following the instructions of the pure devotee. Actually, I remember hearing that long time ago from Haladhar Maharaj, something, and I couldn't find it. I was looking for that a few months ago, and I couldn't find it. He said something that there are different kind of gurus, and one of them is called, he gave the name Paramparik Guru, meaning that he's following the parampara, and because he's following the parampara, he can deliver the devotees, I mean his disciples, because he's in parampara. The same thing as you're saying, pure devotee. He's a pure devotee. So if you have somebody who is not so advanced, is not Uttama Adhikari, but he is following, then because of being in parampara, that the disciple will get the mercy of the parampara. Yes, Divyanga Prabhu.
Amazing miracle of Prabhupada's mission is that you
Thank you. Devyanga Prabhu mentioned that one time Prabhupada was asked by Satsarmaj, so is Brahma a pure devotee? And Prabhupada said, no, he's not. Not necessarily, he said. Not necessarily. So the point that Devyanga Prabhu is making is that not necessarily you may be pure in the sense of not pure in the sense of what Dharmaraj Prabhu was saying, but pure in the sense of being an Uttama Adhikari. You may not be an Uttama Adhikari, but you can be a guru by receiving the knowledge and then giving it to others because you have given them Krishna. You give Srila Prabhupada. You don't have to have all the books in your head, but if you know what's in the book and if you know where it is, then you can give that to the living entity. So yes.
Also on top of that, is the order from that verse to do it. It's not like if you want to, you should become Krishna conscious and then your duty is to share it.
Yes.
Somehow or other, on any level that you can do it. And that's what that verse talks about. Prabhupada's quoted that verse so many times. And he always says, you're Indian, you become and then you spread it to everybody else.
Yes. Again, Devyanga Prabhu is also mentioning that how it's not we want to, if we want, no, it is our duty. Srila Prabhupada is telling us that it is our duty to give knowledge to others. It is our duty. So, it is our duty, yes. Yes, Dharmaraj Prabhu. You have to read everything in context.
Yes.
Yes, very important. Very important.
And Srila Prabhupada said, like when they had a court case, and when they were trying to stop the devotees, and the devotees suggested to Prabhupada that maybe we can read some parts of our books in court to show that Prabhupada said, no, read every word. So we have to do it in entirety.
So Dharmaraj Prabhu is saying that how in a court case, one of the devotees said that we'll read certain few lines or whatever, and then Prabhupada said, no, read the whole, the entire whatever article or whatever it was.
All the books, everything.
Everything, all the books.
Everything.
Everything. Yeah, so we have to, it is our duty. It is our duty to read Srila Prabhupada's books. And the fact I was having a discussion with Seshi Prabhu about this, and he was saying, because he was asking me, what are you giving class on? And I was telling him, because he had some meeting this morning. He still has meetings. Anyway, so he had a meeting this morning, and so I was telling him, then he said that, does everyone have to do that? I mean, is it people who are inclined towards studying Prabhupada's books, like intellectually, or does... I said, no, Srila Prabhupada is saying here. He knew all his audience there. He knew his disciples. He said, everybody, all my spiritual sons and daughters. So in response to him, not only I said that, I said, but I think if you're in a... And then I gave him the example, because he was saying, even if you don't have an inclination, I said, okay, you're certainly not the kind of person that you're the inclination to dress up like Santa Claus and hit up the being on the lights, you know, and do the pick, you know. I said, that's not your inclination. Was that your inclination? But you did it. You did it. I said, so, yeah, He had a blonde wig. A black guy with a blonde wig, why not? But that was not his inclination, but he did it. So, but you just do it, and Krishna gives you the strength and the taste and whatever it requires, he gives it to you. So yes, even if you don't have the inclination, you sit down and when you start reading Srila Prabhupada's books, they're so relishable, and especially if you're doing it with others. I mean, you do it with yourself and you do it with others. And last comment by Sridhar Muni Prabhu, it's overtime. Yes, Sridhar Muni Prabhu.
So you're saying because Jay should do Sian Kwasi, that's his qualification to be a guru?
And so nice, Bhagavatam class, Sridhar Muni Prabhu also always brings some entertainment. That's good. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your kind attendance. Hare Bol.